We're going to continue on in this series called What is Truth? And I'm going to be taking different topics, if you would, week to week on this. Last week, we kind of had that introductory message about just in general, what is truth and how we are able really to, we know what truth is. God has made that aware for us and what that means in our lives. And this week, I'm going to take on a topic that has I've wrestled with, and I think we probably wrestle with it too, because there's so much, what I would say, misinformation out there. And the sermon, it's really simply titled, The Woke Christian. And I think it's that word or that phrase, woke, that I wanted to wrestle with today and present today and talk about today, as we would become a people that are truly awakened or awoke in a right way. So the text I want to turn to is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. And I think it's always good. Let's read this together as a congregation. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read this together. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Heavenly Father, this is your word for us this day. I pray that this word would come alive, Lord, in our hearts and our lives, and that you would have your Holy Spirit apply it to us today, O God. Guide us and grant to us your grace in this word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, can be seated. Well, as we would begin today, I was thinking about this concept of woke. And I don't know about you, but when I was younger, one of my most precious memories, and I got to make a confession, this was not a precious memory as it was happening, but I think after the fact, it's a precious memory. And when I was a youngster, for as many years as I remember, my mom would always walk into my bedroom when it was time to get up. And she had a pretty loud voice, and she would grab onto your feet and she'd say, rise and shine. And like I said, at that time, those were grating words. I mean, we didn't like to hear them. But now I think back, was it a joy to have a mom come in every morning? I remember wake up, rise and shine. And I thought of that slumber as you're sleeping, just to be woke up to that. And I thought of that image, I thought of that picture of today's message. And I wanted to use that really as a way to begin or to preface what we want to talk about today, because the theme is very similar to that idea. What is a woke Christian? What is a woke Christian? I think it's healthy for us to discern and to understand how culture is using this term and how culture is seeking to put us into that mold. But really, in reality, what is it to be a woke Christian? And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, there's several passages in Scripture that speak to this, but this is one of the clearest and the best, I think, for us to look today. So that's why I wanted to use that as kind of that launching point. And I wanted to begin today, going to have three ideas to build upon. The first idea is this. I think that we need to go back. Oh, there we go. What is a woke Christian? I think we need to go back. We need to specify what woke is, all right? What is that? What is it to be woke, all right? So what I'm going to do today, I want to take time, and so I want to get back on that slide. I want to take time, and I want to just speak briefly to Ephesians 5:14 and what it would be a biblical definition of being woke. How would the Bible describe what is a woke Christian? And Ephesians 5:14 gives us a great idea there. Notice again, Paul says, awake sleeper and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, first of all, let us recognize here, the plea here is to awaken. Okay, that's where we get this idea of being woken or waking up. It's really a word that describes coming to life. Arise and go, literally, is kind of the implication there. Arise, awake, O sleeper, and rise. Rise from the dead. Now, it's interesting when you think about this, when we think about that word dead, a couple different ways that this text is oftentimes used. A lot of times, pastors will use this text to describe those that are literally spiritually dead. Somebody, you know, even today, we most likely have people today that are spiritually dead. That you're here and you're going through the motions, but in your heart of hearts, there's really not an assurance of salvation or a conviction of sin or a care or concern about Jesus Christ. That might be you. If that describes you, you're dead. Now, I know you're breathing and you're alive, but spiritually, you are dead. And my prayer today would be that this message even, or maybe the songs or anything we do today, maybe that would wake you up. So that's one way that this text is used. Ephesians chapter 5:14 really speaks of this idea of a spiritual rebirth, that spiritual birth that occurs. We come to that knowledge that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And that's really the essence of what it would be, I think, a summary of what it would be to rise from the dead, that we would no longer be dead spiritually, but that we would come to life. I also think it's fair of us that we can recognize that this exhortation is not only to non-believers, but I think also to believers. And you say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? How am I dead? How do I come awake? And I'm going to speak from my own experience here. How many of you have gone through a time of dryness in your spiritual walk? And a time where, yeah, I see a couple hands already. Ray, hand, Ray, I hear you. Thank you, Stacy. It happens, doesn't it? Or a time when we just don't really feel like going to church. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like being in that Bible study. And we kind of get apathetic. We get, I like the word lethargy. You know, we become lethargic in our worship. We become lethargic in our walk of faith. And I think that happens, I think, to all of us. Whether we like to admit it or not, that happens to all of us. And Paul, as he's writing, I think, is speaking not only to non-believers, those that need to be awoken to Christ, but I think also to those that need to be awoken in Christ, the idea that our spiritual walk has become cool, it's become lax, it's become sparse, whatever that is. And I don't know your spiritual walk. You do, and the Holy Spirit does. And I would suspect that now, if you're feeling a sense of conviction, that's a good thing. Because maybe this text is intended to speak to you today. But the idea here is that we need to wake up to that. And Paul is really issuing that warning that we're to wake up. So when we think about this term woke, and we think especially of how the world and the culture is using it, remember that the Bible used it first. I mean, we read all the way through Scripture about this call, this exhortation to wake up, to get out of that spiritual slumber and that spiritual death and wake up, O sleeper, and the light of Christ will shine on you. There's this exhortation, this plea that the Scripture gives that we indeed are to be woke. A Christian is to be woke. Now, how has the world, though, used this phrase? And that's really what I wanted to focus on today, because I remember being asked at one time, you know, what is woke? And I remember I had to, like, I don't know, wake up from sleep. I just didn't understand how the culture was using it. The word, that idea or concept really, you know, and again, I'm going to summarize some cultural history here, so forgive me because I'm not a cultural expert, but the situation in Florida with a fellow named George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. Remember George Zimmerman shot this young African-American boy, Trayvon Martin, and he was found not guilty. And there was all kinds of difficulty with that and all kinds of things going on. There was a rising up, if you would, regarding that whole case. And then I want to make sure, I forgot the name, the first service, because I got all these names today. Michael Brown. Down in Ferguson, Missouri, remember when he was shot by a white police officer, Michael Brown being an African-American man. And again, the controversy that this all caused and the stirring up. And then, of course, who could forget the George Floyd circumstance in Minneapolis? So all of this is kind of backdrop to this idea of being woke and of the racial and social injustice that is apparent in our country and how to draw attention to that. And I want to preface all that I say today, because I probably will offend some, that when I use some of these examples, there's not a Christian, a true follower of Christ, a true follower of Christ is going to be all for social justice. A true follower of Christ is not going to be racist or prejudicial. They don't go together, all right? So we have to recognize that. So when I'm speaking here today about this idea of racial prejudice and all these things, I'm talking about something that isn't biblical. The Bible doesn't know about that. In fact, I'm going to have one of our sermons in this series. I want to talk about justice and about how God is a God of justice. God is a God of racial equity. God is a God of social justice. He's interested intimately in these affairs. But I think what's gone wrong is that we've taken the wrong perspective. So this idea of woke, of Black Lives Matter, all of this came out of those events, all right? George Foreman or George Floyd, George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, all of these things kind of became together. Black Lives Matter, we all know what's going on there. And this really became the call of America. And woke then came to be described as this. I got to go back. There it is. Woke specified. This is according to Webster's. Aware of and actively attentive to important facts and issues. And catch this. Especially issues of racial and social justice. So that's a definition, if you would, by dictionary, of what woke is. Aware of and actively attentive to important facts and issues, particularly race and social justice. Now again, preface all of this. Christians are all for racial equality. We're for social justice. We want those things. Those things are at the heart of God. Okay? Those are things that we value. But what's happened is that we have developed this whole idea of a woke culture. And by definition, there is a sense that if you're woke, you're actually more knowledgeable than other people. To be woke in a certain topic means that you possess a knowledge that is superior to those around you, because after all, you're woke and they're not. All right? And the idea, what's really interesting to me, is that this whole concept of woke is not so much just a philosophical framework, but it's a call to action. It's not just an expression of thought, but literally it's a call to action. And by the way, if you don't agree with the woke culture, what happens to you? You are what? Starts with a C. Canceled. You're canceled. So what's developed is that there's one line of thinking, and that way is the woke way, that is the right way. And oh, by the way, if you disagree with that, you're canceled. That's the way this is working now. Remember I talked last week about how we deal with truth, about how there was a day when I could say something to you, I disagree with you, and you're wrong, and that we would just be done with that. Now it's, I disagree with you, and not only are you wrong, but now you're evil. And there's this idea that you have to be canceled, you have to be silenced. And there's only one viewpoint then that can be shared, and only one viewpoint that can be stated, and it is the woke viewpoint. That's what's happening. That's the problem with this. So that's how woke has been really, I think, stolen and misappropriated and misused. Woke finds itself expressed then in the cancel culture, and there's all kinds of examples. I won't bore you with that. But one of the ways I think woke has really come to life and exhibited itself is in what is commonly abbreviated as CRT. CRT, critical race theory. Now this, you might say, well, I never heard of that. Well, if you haven't, you should. And you should be aware of what critical race theory is, because it really is an outgrowth of what this whole thing is about, being woke and being actively attentive to these important issues. Now, I also consulted Britannica Dictionary or Britannica Encyclopedia. I wanted to get the definition right, because I wanted to be really clear about what this whole thing is about critical race theory. And it's lengthy. I put it all on the screen, so I apologize, but I'm going to share it with you. This is the Britannica explanation. And just listen to the implications of this definition of critical race theory. An intellectual and social movement and loosely organized framework of legal analysis based on the premise that race is not a natural, biologically grounded feature of physically distinct subgroups of human beings, but a socially constructed, culturally invented category that is used to oppress and exploit people of color. Critical race theorists hold that racism is inherent in the law and legal institutions of the United States insofar as they function to create and maintain social, economic, and political inequalities between whites and non-whites, especially African Americans. I am not making this up. This is what CRT is. This is why you're reading about so many Christians especially fighting against this in the schools. And in academia, this is a real threat, because what's this saying? This is essentially making every institution in America racist. It's making every white male, especially, we are the most racist and we are the most oppressive. That's what this is doing. And it's saying that race isn't biological, but rather it's a social construct. And there are great ramifications from the scary ramifications. That's the critical race theory. That's coming out of this whole woke idea. When I'm awoke to social injustice, I'm woken to this idea of critical race theory. And I wanted to spend time today, and sadly, this is a depressing sermon in my opinion. I want to talk about what woke is, so we get an idea there. You kind of get an idea of the difference between biblical woke and cultural woke. But how has this played out in our culture today? Is our culture woke? Do we see that today in our world? And I make the case that we do. Woke on steroids. Alphabet woke. Mount Royal University, Calgary, Canada, academia, and this is her real name, Dr. Linda Manyguns. What a name, right? Joins the lowercase movement to reject the symbols of hierarchy wherever they may be found and will not use capital letters except to acknowledge the indigenous struggle for recognition. So here's an academian refusing to use capital letters unless in reference to indigenous people, because the use of capital letters is prejudicial and oppressive, okay? And I know you're going, this is nuts. It gets better, all right? The alphabet is woke, all right? Bird. Birds are woke. Bird names for birds. There is a group right now in the United States, they've identified 150 bird names, including Bachman sparrow, that are racial and oppressive and need to be changed. So in the sake of racial justice, we're going to start changing names of birds. Birds are woke. Cartoons are woke. And this is one of the places that really breaks my heart, because we have so many young people and we have kiddos that watch these TV shows. And I'll begin up there in the upper left with Rugrats. Man, who's watched Rugrats? It's kind of a fun show. Betty DeVille. Well, now, by the way, the new reboot of Rugrats, Betty DeVille is now a lesbian that teaches her kids woke things. That's what she does now. That's the new Betty DeVille. Of course, Dr. Seuss, we learned about that. Was it last year? Dr. Seuss got canceled. He's a racist. We can't have our children reading Dr. Seuss. And of course, Sesame Street. How many of you watch Sesame Street or have watched it? Like everybody. Gay dads now. We got to have a homosexual parents on Sesame Street. And why is that? Because the more and more kids see that, the more and more what it becomes. It becomes what? Acceptable. It becomes normal. And nearly every show on TV, nearly every movie you watch, they've got to have at least one sex scene with two men or two women or two whatever. Yeah, that's got to be, that's part of it. Every show has got to have a gay character or whatever it is. And again, this is to normalize this thing. But this is what it is to be woke in a cartoon world. That's what it is. That's what's happening. We're woke in our Constitution even. My word, our Constitution. NARA is the National Archives and Record Administration. They put a warning label out on the website that stores our historical materials, our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, all these things. They are in charge of storing these historic documents of the United States of America. This is what they have on their website. This is what they've told people. That's harmful for children to read this stuff, you know. Harmful. Why is that? NRA's records, or NARA's records, span the history of the United States, and it is our charge to preserve and make available these historical records. As a result, some of the materials presented here may reflect outdated, biased, offensive, and possibly violent views and opinions. In addition, some of the materials may relate to violent or graphic events and are preserved for their historical significance. So even our Constitution has now become harmful for children to read because of some of the material and some of the ideas and some of the thoughts that are in it. Constitutions are woke. Corporate woke. Vaseline has introduced a whole line of equitable skincare, especially for those of darker skin colors. Just specifically for that. They're going to get rid of racial prejudice by the skin line. Mutual of Omaha. Remember the logo of the Indian chief? And, you know, that has been changed now. They put a lion in there. And of course, everybody's favorite, who doesn't like Oreo cookies? Who has not eaten Oreo cookies and milk? Well, Oreo cookie, they're a huge supporter of gay pride. They came out for Gay Pride Month with a new Oreo cookie representing the pride flag. Corporate America, you see, we're woke corporately. Corporate America is woke, and that's what it is result right there. How about education? Grace Episcopal School, Manhattan, New York, has asked that we no longer use the words mom and dad, because according to their inclusive language guide, mom and dad are words that are necessarily oppressive and racially insensitive. Grace Episcopal School, okay? This is happening right now in our country, even in private schools. Education is woke. Food is woke. Raj Patel, he's kind of the guru of what it is to be woke and social justice and social injustice. You probably read about him at some point in time. Did you know that when you eat a piece of apple pie, you're being prejudiced and you're showing racial offense? Right here, this is what he says. The apple pie is as American as stolen land, wealth, and labor. We live its consequences today, Raj Patel. Isn't that crazy? Food's woke. Gender is woke. Read the headline here. Now, this is down under. This is down in Australia, so I granted. But this is happening right now in this community. My 15-year-old transgender son means born a girl, okay? My transgender son is going through menopause. Oh, and this is the best part. And I'm so proud of him. What does that do when you read that? Is that just like ludicrous or what? And apparently what's happening, when you do this transgender sex change, of course, that's not the way God made you, but if you want to, if you're a girl and want to become a boy, you have to take a drug that prohibits the production of estrogen. And apparently when estrogen is restricted in a female body, they go through menopause, I guess. That's how this works, all right? That's what this young guy is going through, menopause, because they are restricting estrogen, and that's what's happening. And this is happening, right? Even in our community, we have this stuff going on right now. Maybe not to that extent, but we have the same thing going on. Gender is woke. And of course, sports are woke. And I want to apologize. This probably wasn't the best example. There's a lot of others. The name Washington Redskins, I can understand why that would be deemed offensive by some. Now, as I thought about that in my own life, I thought it was a great name and one that I upheld with great respect and dignity and honor. And obviously, that wasn't the opinion of many. So that Washington Redskins is now, you know, of course, the Washington football team. And that's A-OK. But I was also reading in the same article, how many of you are Notre Dame fans? Any Notre Dame fans here? Okay, Fighting Irish one. And what is their symbol or their mascot? A leprechaun. Do you know that the Notre Dame leprechaun is racist? And there is a petition right now to change that motto or that logo, because the leprechaun, after all, is racist. I mean, this does not end, people. And we could go on and on and on and on. This is just a small smattering of the examples. This is woke on steroids. And this is so necessary for us to understand and recognize, because we need to be alert to this. We need to know these things. So I'm going to close today, hopefully on a good note. What does it mean then to be woke in the spirit? I know what woke is biblically and culturally. I've seen examples of woke on steroids. So what is it to be woke in the spirit then? What does that mean? There you go. What's that? It's a phone ringing. What's the phone do if you're sleeping? What's the phone do? It wakes you up. Perfect timing today. I love that. Woke in the spirit. You got to wake up, all right? And part of that is, I think we need to wake up to the danger that we're in. The danger is as close as this thing right here. On your cell phone right now, in 20 seconds, you could dial up some of the most horrible things even imaginable. The pagan culture is all around us. Close as our cell phone, close as our TV, close as everything we do entertainment-wise. The pagan culture is there, and we need to be aware of that. And part of that then is we need to recognize, though, and it's so easy for us, and I'm good at this, and maybe you are too, that when we see these things happening, we want to blame the person. And we want to look at the individual, and we want to ignore them. We want to blast them. We don't want anything to do with them. We want to say, "Oh, you guys are just being crazy. We don't want anything to do with you." And why is that wrong, though? Because I think it's really important for us to recognize that the individuals that believe these things and purport these things and support these things, the individual is not evil. The sin is evil, and the one that's disillusioning them is evil. Satan is evil. So I want us to be on guard against, you know, labeling the individual as evil. I want us to recognize that the one that is motivating the individual is evil. And I want us to recognize the people or the person as an opportunity. The person is an opportunity. They were able to speak the truth in love. They were able to minister the truth of Christ. They were able to live out our faith in a way that draws them to the Lord. So I'm going to urge us today to remember that people aren't the enemy. People are an opportunity, and being woke in the spirit helps us to recognize and to understand that. And I'm going to ask if you want to turn to a text, Psalm 57. I'm going to go Psalm 57 just for a little bit here, beginning in verse 7. I think that part of being woke, not only to be woken to the danger and woken to the opportunity that people present, but also to be woken to praise. And I love Psalm 57. And again, there's many of these texts that speak to this, but there is a thought here in Psalm 57, beginning in verse 7. Notice what it says. It says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. Awake." I love that word. "Awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations." What is the psalmist doing here? The psalmist is declaring the necessity of becoming awake in order to praise God. And I think we need to recognize that as well. That we have such a wonderful opportunity to sit in this place today to worship God. What an extreme joy that is. And oh, I pray that we would not take it lightly. And I'm afraid that sometimes we do. That we allow too many other things to enter into our schedules, that we don't make opportunity to praise God a priority. And I recognize it's not always easy to get here. I know that. I've been there, done that. I had kids. I know what it's like to get up and get them here. But please remember this psalmist here. He says, awake, my glory, awake, harp and lyre. The idea is that there would be this awakening from sleep, that there'd be a joy in worship, that there'd be an excitement of being in this place or wherever you're gathering to worship, that there would be that idea that I am awake. I am awake and rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord not only in order to praise Him. We praise Him because not only did He make us, but He has saved us. What a remarkable way to rejoice, and what a remarkable way to praise Him. I think we need to be awoken too to the idea of sin and sloth. I love the word sloth, okay? What is a sloth? A sloth is this really kind of ugly, slow little animal, right? I think a lot of us are sloths spiritually. Just kind of barely getting along, just, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. And I'm going to urge you today to consider your spiritual place. Is there a fervor? Is there a fire? Is there a vigor in your heart for the things of the Lord? Or are you more like a sloth? You know, I could take it or leave it. And again, I think all of our lives reflect sometimes we're sloths. You know, sometimes we're really on fire for the Lord. But I think it's good of us to recognize that we need to be careful about that sloth. We need to be careful about that sin in our life. And as we do so, then I think the most important thing to awaken to today for the Christian, what it is to be to woke in the Spirit, of course, is to be woke in Christ. That's the whole message right there. Woke biblically is to be awoke in Christ. It is to come to that place this day of recognizing one's sin and recognizing that God has provided a Savior for us, and that Savior's name is Jesus. I am the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And the beauty and the joy it is today to be able to present that and to know that is that that eternal transaction of being awoken in Christ is something that can happen right now. I would be a fool today to think that everybody that's hearing this word is saved. I would be an absolute fool. And I want today to call forth this gospel message that if you're at that place of spiritual deadness, that today would be that day that you would come awake in Christ, that you would come to that place of confessing sin, quietly in your heart, just confessing sin and confessing a need for a Savior. That's what it is to be woke in Christ. And that is the woke that this world needs the most, all right? I'm going to close today with a little bit of a, I thought it was a great video clip that illustrates this example. The picture is like a dash cam, and it's a guy driving down the road, and you'll see top picture. It's kind of hard to see, but there's a stoplight, and you'll notice the light is very obviously green. So the guy driving has got the right of way, and he's going. And then you're going to see a car on the right-hand side. Keep your eyes open to what that car does in the subsequent response to that. All right, so what happened there? So this guy, he drives a Mazda Miata, and he has mounted a train air horn in that thing. And what I loved about it, I mean, at first service, had a couple people just jump. And have you ever been to a place where you didn't expect to hear a train horn and it blew off? And it's like, wow, what does that train horn do? What's the phone do when you're sitting there, you want to be quiet, and the phone rings? What's it do? It jumps you, right? It alerts you. It wakes you up. We need that today. We're oftentimes asleep, man. We're a people that have fallen asleep, and I pray that we would wake up. We need to wake up to this danger that's all around us, and we need to wake up to the ways of the Lord. And my prayer today is that we would be a congregation and individuals that wake up. We need that. We need a woke church. We need woke individuals, but we need that woke done in the right way. Closing statement is this: come awake in Christ and rise up from the dead. Heavenly Father, use this word. And Lord, you know, if there would be that individual here today that is dead, spiritually dead, I pray that you would work the work of faith right now, God, that there would be that confession of sin and coming to faith in you. And that, Lord, as that happens, there would be rejoicing in the heavens right now by the angels. We thank you for that. And I would pray, Lord, too, for probably the many amongst us that admits some spiritual sloth in their lives. And I would pray, Lord, that you would call us to awaken as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. God's word is indeed powerful and life-giving. If this broadcast has blessed you, would you contact us and let us know? We consider it a privilege to hear from you and to pray for you. If you've received a blessing, would you also give a blessing and ask God to lead you in partnering with us through prayer or with a gift to our radio ministry? Please contact us at Abiding Savior Free Lutheran Church, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at 605-371-3800 or you can find us on the web at knowingthesavior.org. We are also excited to let our radio listeners know about Shiloh Free Lutheran Church, which is a new church plant in Rapid City, South Dakota. To find out more, please visit shilohfreelutheran.org or call 605-200-2758. We consider it a privilege to bring you the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May our Lord bless you richly this day.